Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio, CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, December the 14th, 2012. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today with my co-hosts, Alyssa Ray.
Hello.
And Jackie McIntosh.
Hello.
Jackie, if you could move to another mic, please. That one's not working very well. Animal Voices is Vancouver's and Western Canada's only animal advocacy and vegan radio program, bringing you all the animal and vegan-related news, events, interviews, lifestyle, and commentary you need to keep up to date on what's happening, both locally and internationally. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the respect that humans take for granted. This program can be heard every Friday from noon till 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and is also streamed live at coopradio.org and available as podcasts on iTunes and animalvoices.org after airing. So today we're going freestyle. So what does that mean? It means that we're kind of straying away from our usual regimented, precise, and highly organized format to just kind of going with the flow. And we'll be presenting to you some items for discussion that we encourage you to be a part of. And we don't normally allow for listener call-ins on the show due to the tight scheduling that our normal format is usually bound by. But today, anything goes. So if you want, give us a call, 604-684-7561, and tell us what's on your mind, preferably in regards to what we're talking about on the show. So if you have any comments or anything about what we're chatting about later, let us know, 604-684-7561. So on today's show, I'll be sharing with you a cookbook review. Jackie will be sharing her transition story on how she went vegan. Liz is going to be sharing just a mishmash of stuff that some yoga stuff and maybe some other surprises later in the show. And then we're also going to be discussing the Mercy for Animals Canada pig cruelty undercover investigation that broke in the major media just last week on the W5 National Television program. So 684-7561 is the number to call if you want to weigh in on any of these issues once they come up for discussion.
604-684-7561.
So at this time, we want to put out another call for people to join our collective here at Animal Voices. And Alyssa put out a call last week and we got someone to join our collective. So
we did?
Robin.
Oh, we did.
She was on the show last week. We thought, well, why not? You come on the show anyways, and she was very interested. So, yeah, this is a great opportunity for people who want to speak their voices on animal rights issues and basically communicate and outreach. And I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for that. That's why I've been doing the show here for 3 years now, and Alyssa's been doing it for about 2 years, right?
I can't believe it's been that long.
It's almost your Animal Voices anniversary because you started around Christmas time.
Yes,
and
did.
Jackie just joined us recently. So as Alyssa was saying last week, you know, we're only, I guess we're four people right now. Well, two people that actually produce shows. It takes a lot of time to produce these weekly shows. And there's a lot more to putting on a radio show than just producing every week, which takes about 10 or more hours every week. After that amount of time is done, because we do this as volunteers, there's very little time left to work on other stuff, just sort of like putting on events and doing PR for the show and lots of other stuff that we'd like to do just to promote the show and promote the message. So if you are interested in perhaps joining our collective, you need not be available every Friday to actually be on the show. We're actually looking for people to sort of work behind the scenes. So
I have a vision. I don't really have that much time to talk about the grand vision for the show, but I really can see us being more involved in the community and Animal Voices
totally.
Being more of an organization or a platform for other groups, or helping to bring other groups together, because that is part of our mandate, is we're giving space and a platform for different voices on behalf of animals. And I can see us doing more of that in the Vancouver community. So we need more people on board to help us broaden and expand our reach and really get out there. And I wanted to mention that no experience is necessary. Just a passion for speaking out to expose animal cruelty. And, and it is a really great way to gain experience and build confidence in sharing your opinions and you're speaking from your heart.
But even as I said before, you know, if you just don't even want to talk on the radio, we always have this ongoing list of tasks that are behind the scenes that need to be done. And actually, Robin took on a pretty large project last week, which is it's a really fun project. We just don't really have time to do it ourselves. So there's always stuff to do if you have skills that you can bring.
Yeah.
As I said, event planning, computer skills.
Yeah, we need more. Yeah. Social networking. We got to get out there. Yeah. We could be so much better with that and have a larger reach. So, yeah, get in touch.
So, Alyssa, you attended a secret supper event last week that I really wanted to go to, and I couldn't get in. It was full. So I want to know all about it. Please tell us.
Yeah, I think it sold out pretty quickly, which was exciting.
Well, they opened up extra spaces, and I emailed, and he missed me and didn't get in. Yeah.
Next time. I guess he does them fairly regularly. I don't know how secret it is. I'll just say his name's David. and yeah, he does suppers fairly regularly. It seems about once a month or maybe once every two months.
They always sound really good.
Yeah, they do. And yeah, they're just in his, you know, small sort of East Van kind of ground level apartment. Nothing fancy, but he really makes everyone feel cozy. And it was a pleasure to go. It was my first time attending his supper, and it was 14 people, a huge long feast table, and it was pretty much like family style, which was pretty neat because I've been to sort of gourmet events like that before where it's like a four-course meal or something fancy, but this was just sort of family style holiday feast. So we had the mashed potatoes and a huge, lots of veggie side dishes. But I think the feature was a beautiful roast. Like he did a bunch of wheat gluten roast, like seitan.
He made them by himself?
Totally. Oh, and they were amazing. They were so moist and flavorful. And he did this special inari skin, like flavored sort of skin for it. You know, inari is like bean curd skin roll sort of thing, like that you might have at a Japanese restaurant or something. He made a turkey skin out of that, which was so cool. And he had amazing decadent desserts. This pie made out of, I don't know, it was like fudge and pecan, super decadent pie.
Wow. I haven't eaten breakfast yet today. It is making my mouth water.
Yeah, two desserts. And then not only that, pretty much everyone brought home, had a big container and filled them. And he was like, who wants more mashed potatoes?
It's really good value. It was $33.
It was only $33.
Yeah, I thought, you know, if you're going, this sounded like really special and fancy all vegan dinner. We are totally lacking in this kind of experience in restaurants in Vancouver. So, you know, I was thinking it might be quite a bit of money, but I would pay that to go to a fancy restaurant.
Totally.
It's worth it. You know, he's cooking for a small amount of people when it comes to, like, not a huge restaurant, not tons of people coming all night. It's worth it, but you're actually getting two meals out of that too, so it's even more worth it.
Not only that, it's not just about the food. It's about, you know, getting to know the people at your table.
Exactly.
And also getting to know the chef. Like, he talked about, like, the dishes, and he was very charismatic and funny, and he kept everyone kind of entertained, and it was just really a beautiful evening. And I would definitely go again, and
Well, let's go together next time. I didn't even know you were going. I just tried to get in on my own. I'm like, it sounds so good. I don't usually go out to dinners on my own. Like, I'm just going to go on my own, but then couldn't get in.
Well, you have to come to the one at my house, too. So.
I definitely want to do that, except you only have them on Saturdays, it seems like. I'm never hungry
we'll try
on Saturdays.
Friday one.
Friday I could do.
Okay.
So maybe we should mention, how do people get into this secret supper? He always posts it on the Vancouver Vegans Facebook group.
Yeah,
so that would be a way. Just join that group, Vancouver Vegans, on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything else. Shh. Yeah.
Secret. So, yeah, I've been really busy. This is what's going up with me. Past 3 weeks, every sort of holiday season, I always, like, bake tons and tons and tons of vegan cookies. That's sort of my outreach and what I give away for presents. And I've been really busy doing that the past 3 weeks. And I'm really happy to say that I finally finished doing all that couple days ago, actually yesterday. And that's what I've been busy doing, in case anyone was wondering. And both of you will be receiving vegan treats next week, because I will definitely. So that's what I like to do, just sort of like to give gifts. And I always make like a plethora of lots and lots of cookies, usually 10 different types. So this sort of brings me up to what a review that I have of a book, a new book that it's a brand new book. It's coming out just in time for the holiday season. It's called Very Vegan Christmas Cookies, 125 Festive and Flavorful Treats by Ellen Brown. It's a beautiful book. You can see it right through the window right here. Some beautiful full-color photos. It's so beautifully laid out. I mean, I tried to make these cookies, by the way, that I'm showing you.
They're so pretty.
Yeah, I'll tell you about them later, though. It's a wonderful, pretty book. Just like ooh and ah at I made these ones, too. This doesn't work too well for radio, does it? I made these ones and these ones.
But I love a cookbook with lots of pictures. That's
lots
super important.
Lots of colors. So all me, red and green.
Exactly.
And
it's very festive. Yeah. It's a beautiful book. For me, you know, half the I'm a cookbook lover, vegan cookbook lover. I, as you probably know from listening to this show, I do lots of cookbook reviews. And for me, half the experience of enjoying and reviewing a book is actually just reading it. And that's great for me. Like, I basically, before I go to bed at night or in the morning, if I'm working the night shift, I read cookbooks. Because that's like, it takes less brain power than to actually read like a really intense animal rights nonfiction book, which is the other type of book I read. So, yeah, I'll read some recipes and then I'll start to slowly fall asleep and then I'll have dreams of sugar cookies floating in my head. Yeah, so I'm so glad that this book came out. They actually beat me to it. I sort of consider myself to be a Christmas cookie, vegan cookie connoisseur myself, since I do all this baking. And most of these cookie recipes that I make, and I always make new ones every year, I veganize them myself, because there's just isn't a lot out there, or there hasn't been in the past. I've been doing this for years. So they beat me to it. They wrote a book before I did. I totally wanted to write a book like this. So that's awesome. I really wanted to love this book. I should preface my review by. And as I said before, I usually make about 10 different kinds. From this book, I made 8 different kinds of cookies. I attempted to, I should say.
What kinds did you make?
So I made, only 8 kinds. So I made the spritz, ginger maple cookies, mocha white chocolate pecan. I tried to. The snowball cookies, the crunchy peanut butter and cherry thumbprints, the Christmas sugar cookies, the baklava, and the chocolate peppermint brownies. They have bar cookies in here. So I tried to make an assortment. The way I chose these is some of them are actually like the same recipe titles as cookies I normally make, like the spritz. I usually do those usually every year, every second year. The baklava I make every year. Sometimes I make brownies. So I thought, oh, I'll just do them from this book, right? Some of them turned out great, and very disappointedly, pointingly, about 3 of them were totally inedible, which is really sad. So these beautiful cookies that you commented on, Alyssa, the sugar cookies, they were unusable. I actually had to throw the dough into the garbage and then start from scratch. So, you know, not all book reviews can be great. And I have to say, like, I really wanted to love this book. It's so beautiful. I still think, you know, it's worth getting, but they didn't all work out that well. And I want to point out why the recipes didn't work. Because when you're veganizing recipes, you need to make sure that you've got the fat, you've got the sugars, you've got, like, the oil or whatever, the margarine substitute or the butter substitute.
Lots of earth balance.
Or whatever. Yeah, there's a few other vegan margarines out there, or you can use oil instead. It seemed like some of the recipes that were totally unusable, they were just completely dry, completely crumbly. I could tell some of them weren't going to work when the dough was just like you're putting in crumbles into the oven. And it seemed like they weren't tested. Like, did the author even test the recipes? So, yeah, that's kind of odd. I mean, I'm not used to getting so many, like, duds. Usually, like, in recipe books, some sometimes don't work out that well. Or you think, or maybe it's because of my oven, or maybe I didn't use the exact right brand that they suggested. It really shouldn't have been for this book. So
yeah, it can be, like, the temperature of the ingredients as well. Doesn't that affect cookies?
Yeah, but the thing is, as I said, I'm a cookie connoisseur. I know. Like, I know these things. And for one of the recipes that I could tell was going to be too dry, that was the brownies that I made.
Yeah.
I could tell. I put in some applesauce to sort of try to make it because I often use applesauce as a binder. She uses a lot of that egg replacer that you can buy in the store, which I have as well, and that didn't do the job for creating the moistness, that applesauce. That's why I really like using applesauce in cookies and brownie, even like more of cakey batter. You need like oil and one of the recipes, the mocha white chocolate chip pecan recipes, that was just so dry and crumbly. And when I looked at the recipe after, I realized there's no sugar, there's no sweetener in here, and there's a very small amount of fat. There was only like a little bit of oil. Like, no wonder it didn't work. And that's what I wondered. She even tested the recipes. So anyways, that's the sad part about it. The great part about it is there are still 117 other recipes in this book that I haven't tried out yet. So I think there's still hope for it. I don't want to end the review on a downer note, you know. So we are doing a giveaway of this book. Does anyone else want to take the challenge and make some of the recipes I didn't? 117 left, 125 in total. It's a beautiful book. I say, you know, give it a shot. It's a book that's needed, vegan cookie recipe book for the holidays. Give us a call if you want this book.
How about you go through every recipe and you add what you think it needs? And then we'll have your little sticky notes in it.
See, I often have done that when I've been veganizing recipes, but you wouldn't think you need to cookies that have already done that work for you, except some of them hadn't. So some of them did turn out well. The spritz turned out really well. The snowballs turned out well. They weren't balls. They kind of flattened out. But the baklava was fine. It's pretty much the same as my normal recipe. So they weren't all bad. Anyways, if you want this book, not the one I have, because I still am going to give it a shot, but I've got an extra one, 604-684-7561. First person to call wins a copy of this book. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. And I think here I am trying to do two things at once. We're gonna play I didn't realize that was gonna happen. We're gonna play a little announcement for you here. As soon as I can press pause on here.
You are amazing at what you do, Allison. You are doing it all. No one can appreciate that, but I am watching you and it looks very complicated.
Like what you hear on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM? Donate to the station and become a member of Vancouver's only community-owned and run radio station. As a member-owned cooperative, Co-op Radio doesn't have one owner. We have about 30,000 owners. We don't accept commercial advertising. We generate our revenue through donations from our members and listeners. Donate to Co-op Radio, become a member, and help us continue to make independent alternative radio. Visit cooperadio.org to donate today.
Drishti Point is a radio program featuring interviews about yoga, spirituality, and wellness. Our guests include yogis, authors, musicians, healers, and renowned spiritual teachers. Tune in Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. for your weekly dose of yoga wisdom and inspiration.
So you are listening. You are listening to Animal Voices Radio Show here on 100.5 FM, CFRO, Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada. So I have a few events coming up. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., there's the Raw Lifestyle Holiday Sweets and Tastings by local raw food chef Priscilla Levac. And she turned raw to heal from serious injuries which threatened her professional snowboarding career. After such an inspiring personal transformation, she pursued raw culinary training and now shares the message and knowledge via workshops, private classes, and community events. This evening, she'll demonstrate and sample several raw holiday treats, including chocolate mint patties, caramel apples, truffle, and carrot cake. The cost is $30 to pre-register at Eternal Abundance, and that's $5 off for Raw BC members. It's $40 at the door. So tickets you can get at Eternal Abundance or visit consciouslivingradio.org/page141.htm. And that is, like I said, at Eternal Abundance tonight at 7:30.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if anyone doesn't have things going on for New Year's Eve, there's an event coming up called Buddha Rave. And this is a new wave of substance-free entertainment. So lose yourself in true celebration. Experience the natural high of electrifying fusion beats with friends and friends-to-be under the brilliance of 1,000 glow sticks. Dance into 2013, the year of bliss. Enter 2013 with an enlivened spirit and enlightened mind. Indulge in energizing exotic drinks and organic vegetarian delights. This will take place New Year's Eve starting at 9 p.m. until 2 a.m. at the Roundhouse Galleria in Vancouver. To buy tickets or for more info, go to www.buddharave.com. And also, coming up in 2013, in February, we have the Vancouver Animal Advocacy Camp.
Yay!
Yeah, that'll be fun. And that's from February 23rd and 24th, 2013, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the W2 Media Cafe on West Hastings Street. So this is an opportunity for Vancouver activists to get together and learn from each other's experiences and build a stronger community of animal advocates.
This will be our third one, and I just wanted to mention something too that I forgot to say before is I actually started some of my advocacy that I was doing this week is I started a Facebook group a few days ago for the animal advocacy camp so that people can, I added you two to it, I believe, so that people can get together and discuss not just only before the conference itself, but after, so that we can keep discussions and just sort of actions going on throughout the year. And it was just something that I'm part of the organizing committee, something that we thought of as a way to get people to sort of keep in touch with each other afterwards and even before. That's why I started it now, even though it's in a couple months. So get on there.
Yeah, sounds good.
Look for Vancouver Animal Advocacy Camp on Facebook and ask to join the group, and I'll add you.
And this will actually be my first year going to this. I haven't gone to it in the previous year, so I'm excited for that. Advance registration is required, and the cost to be determined for both days. I don't know if that's
Registration.
Determined yet.
Well, it's supposed to be happening this weekend, so go onto that Facebook group and you'll learn more.
Or you can go to animaladvocacycamp.ca. All right, and that's all for events.
I just wanted, since this is a freestyle show and I have the internet in front of me, I'm just going to go with this. This is not happy news. So there was a shooting in the States at an elementary school. A lone gunman killed 26 people at an elementary school in Connecticut early this morning. And it was a 24-year-old male who also shot himself.
That's devastating.
It is. Yeah. And it really, really is. And I wanted to share the message that I read on the Earthlings Facebook, which says, "Dear friends, how disheartening to read this story. The perceived separation between one another that is so prevalent in this world, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, that ultimately leads to such extreme duality, a lone gunman targeting kindergarten children, no less, is a reflection of our own collective consciousness. It is a mirror held up to humanity that shows our insanity. As a society, as a culture, we must go beyond this duality, which leads to such abhorrent violence. Unity begins when we stop perceiving opposites in one another. As Earthlings, I am asking all vegans and vegetarians and animal activists to please cease all bitterness towards others today. All condemnations in our posts and blogs, all judgment, all violent comments. And please just feed the collective consciousness with your thoughts of love, unity, and oneness, not separation."
Thanks for that,
Thank
Alyssa.
Thank you very much, yeah. All right, so on a little bit lighter news, I'm just going to share my vegan coming out story, as I call it.
That's great. And it's, you know, you're officially a member of the Animal Voices Collective now as of a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This is perfect timing.
Exactly.
So glad you're on the team, Jackie. Yeah. Thanks for joining. I really appreciate your voice. And I can't wait for our listeners to hear more about where you're coming from.
And us too.
We're curious
as
well.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know.
There may be questions.
Hopefully. So actually, I grew up in the standard North American meat and potatoes family. I've always loved animals and felt compassion towards them, from my pets to wildlife that I grew up in close proximity to living on the North Shore. I even remember rescuing various birds and squirrels and snakes and frogs that our cats or neighbors cats would catch, and getting routine backyard visits from black bears and raccoons. I remember I tried going vegetarian as a kid many times, but unfortunately it didn't stick. I think that it's primarily due to the fact that I wasn't really given much option in the household and didn't really have any guidance on how to cook delicious, healthy vegetarian meals. Plus, my parents kept telling me that I needed meat to be healthy and get enough protein, which, of course...
Many parents say that.
Exactly, and how wrong were they? I think also, I, like many other meat-eating individuals, didn't make the immediate connection between meat and animals or just tried my hardest to ignore it. When I moved out on my own, though, I didn't buy much meat to eat at home. It kind of just disgusted me to look at raw meat. However, I still ate meat when I went out, and I purchased seafood and cheese and eggs. I did like seafood, and I did like cheese. Then about 3.5 years ago, shortly after my girlfriend Ashley and I moved in together, we were watching TV, and on came Passionate Eye, and on it was Food Inc. So we
Awesome.
It was a very important, very important turning point. We both hadn't heard of the documentary, but we both liked documentaries and thought it would just be interesting to learn about where our food came from. We were quite surprised at what we saw, and I have to say, watching that was very emotional for me. I had heard about factory farms and knew that they weren't the most ideal places for animals to live in, but I had thought, you know, that there were some rules in place regulating welfare of these animals, and it was extremely just eye-opening to see that kind of horror and torture that these animals experience on a day-to-day basis. I remember right after watching the movie, I felt sick to my stomach, extremely angry and heartbroken, just all at the same time. I went to the fridge and looked to see what we had in there, and any animal products just simply made me ill to even look at. I remember telling Ashley I cannot eat meat again, and she agreed. So we thought perhaps we would try organic animal products, as the movie had shown an organic farm, which misleadingly made it look much more pleasant than the reality of most organic animal farms. So for a couple weeks, we bought organic eggs and milk, although I didn't really eat much of it, and as I couldn't stomach it, and I was still very skeptical that organic had anything to do with welfare. I kept researching on the internet, just trying to find out what exactly organic meant for animal welfare, and I found some information saying something vague like access to outdoor pasture and grazing, or, you know, just some access to outdoor, but it wasn't very clear on or specific on details of how often or how long or how much space they're getting, or what kind of treatment they're even getting. So it was all just very unclear, and it didn't seem like enough to me. I then came across some other information which basically said that organic certification means that chemicals are not used in raising the animal but has no guarantee of animal welfare. Mm-hmm. So that was enough for me. I did some further research on vegan recipes and how to transition, bought some almond milk and quinoa, and never looked back.
Awesome.
I have to say that I learned a lot in such a short time. I had no idea, first of all, that the majority of mainstream products for cleaning and hygiene are tested on animals. I knew that medication was, but had no idea that everything from bleach to mascara went through the same cruel and unnecessary process. I, of course, then transitioned to all cruelty-free brands, and then began advocacy work and fighting for the end of cruelty towards animals. So it's been just over 3 years now, although it feels like I've been vegan forever, because I've done a lot in that short time. I have found that my health has improved, as I have type 1 diabetes. My blood glucose has never been better, and I have generally have more energy, feel happier about eating, knowing that no suffering had to take place to provide it, and just feel more connected with nature and the animals around us. Also, shortly after going vegan, I began looking for cruelty-free foods for pets. Many people are unaware, actually, that major pet foods are often tested on animals in laboratories, same as with other human items. So I actually switched my dog to a vegan, cruelty-free, non-animal tested food, and you can find out more about cruelty-free pet food brands on PETA's website. A lot of people I find are actually under the false impressions, and I get this a lot from just various dog owners, that dogs are carnivores, which they are not. They're actually omnivores like us, and they can thrive on a vegan diet. My dog is proof. And I get almost daily comments from people just on the street just saying how healthy my dog looks and how shiny and soft her coat is.
That's fantastic.
And so,
what kind of dog do you have?
She's a mutt. She's a shepherd, mm-hmm. a shepherd mix.
That's awesome.
So I have to attribute that to both the care that she gets from us as well as her diet. I mean, I've certainly noticed a difference in her as well. And so this was my journey, and I could not ever see myself eating anything from Animal Source or ever going back to that lifestyle.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you mention veterinarianism in there?
Veterinarianism.
Well, I actually have worked in the vet field for almost 5 years now.
Yeah.
So, like, for the first couple of years, of course, like, you know, I just was doing that to help out the animals as much as I could. But yeah, I wasn't vegetarian in the beginning. Mm. And then there were a few vegetarians at my work, but I'm actually quite surprised that there's so few. You know, you'd think in that field that most people would be vegetarian or vegan, but no, people even there, like, kind
amazing.
Of give me an odd response about it. I'm like,
an odd response. Yeah. It's a disconnect, I think.
Yeah, and exactly.
Maybe something we should talk about on the show sort of as a separate topic at another time. Mm-hmm. I'd like
to
disseminate that.
Yeah. Well, people in general, I think, disconnect their household pets so much from farm animals that endure the suffering, and that's the big problem that we have in North America.
Yeah, I actually read a study just this morning. I don't have the super details on, but less and less people are getting into veterinary work with farm animals because, well, I guess, I mean, obviously less and less of us are living rurally and just not raised that way. But also, yeah, there's probably more consciousness. I mean, if you want to help animals, it doesn't make sense that you're helping to raise them to be killed. So I think more people are making the connection that way. They say that's actually
interesting, a danger
to farm animals, that there's less and less vets available to, like, check their health.
That's true.
It's kind of interesting.
Supply and demand, then maybe we need to stop producing so many farm animals who need this kind of care.
I know that the new vet school in Alberta, I believe, they were supposed to be working basically large animal practice, but students just didn't have the interest, so now they do a lot of small animal work primarily. Mm-hmm. But it was supposed to be just large animal school.
Yeah. So I have two follow-up questions.
Sure.
Did your partner, Ashley, did you say she's vegan now, too?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's interesting, because you both made
the same
connections
time.
At the same time.
She was vegetarian for a little while after it, because I think she needed that transition period.
Okay,
just because her family is very, it's kind of funny, because us coming out as being gay or whatever, her coming out as being gay to her family, was they were more open to that than they are about her being vegan, which is
before.
Extremely, like, it's
so
what
odd.
You wouldn't expect. But so for her, I think she needed the transition. She was, I think, vegetarian for about 7 or 8 months, and then, you know, I was vegan after about the first month.
I was vegetarian for like 14 years or something like that.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. I think the information's just more out there. We didn't have films like Food Inc.
Really, the power of film, hey? I mean, it was a film for me, too. It was Earthlings. And I think it's just...
That is the ultimate
that
film.
That hour and a half.
It's the only film you need.
It's amazing.
The Vegan Maker, they call that film.
Yeah.
Second follow-up question. You said your diabetes has improved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned that you grabbed your almond milk and quinoa and never looked back. I mean, you could still be on a junk food vegan diet and your diabetes would be doing really poorly. But my question is when you're transitioning to veganism, or when you just did the straight transition, you seemed to want to embrace living as a healthy vegan as opposed to a junk food vegan. So
I think a lot of it too is a lot of diabetics feel that protein is super important, which it is, but you don't need to have more protein than anyone else. You just need to make sure that you're getting enough. And so people often overload on meat, which actually delays, if your blood glucose is high, it actually delays the way that you process food. So it makes your glucose levels stay higher longer. And also it can make your cholesterol raise, which again associates other, you know, diabetes related problems. But yes, I also did find that when I transitioned to a vegan diet, I learned more about, you know, the health benefits of being vegan. And so I did try to, I wasn't a huge sugar eater to begin with, but I did try to decrease the amount of sugar that I would eat, and also not eating processed foods, which, you know, always have lots of sugar in them. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I think when you're transitioning to a vegan diet and you're embracing the almond milk and the quinoa, that's, you're crowding out the processed foods that are not as healthy for you by default of being processed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. That's that was really nice to hear. And I wouldn't have thought you were such a new vegan.
I mean,
3 years. But
I kind of joined the vegan movement with a full force. So that's probably why.
That's great.
Yeah.
So no one's called yet for the cookbook. Doesn't anyone want a very vegan Christmas cookie
book? You sold it so well.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. Even just to read it, it's just awesome. It's just like really nice to read. Let me say that. And there's still lots of recipes to try out. And some of the recipes did work that I did try. So 604-684-7561. Now, we've never done this before where you call in, because I'm usually the one talking and on the controls and can't really answer the phone at the same time. But just call. If I don't answer, call back. Hey, someone's calling. Someone is calling. We're gonna put them on the air here, okay? Talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Okay.
Oh, it's my 5-year vegan anniversary.
Ooh, yay. Congrats.
Yeah, 5 years ago, it was December 6th of 2007, a friend posted Earthlings on her blog that I was following, and I watched it, and my life changed. And I decided, yep, no going back.
Yeah.
Just totally wrenched my gut, tears and tears and tears. And that's kind of what it takes sometimes to really wake up.
I haven't seen Earthlings, and I'm scared to see it.
We have a caller on the air.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hi there.
What's your name?
Jamie.
Well, thanks for calling in. So you wanted to win the cookbook. Did you hear my review of it?
No, I didn't, actually. We just tuned in rather late to the really interesting discussion on veganism, etc.
Oh, that's great. Are you a regular listener to Animal Voices?
Sorry?
Are you a regular listener to the radio show?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, awesome. So
I listen to it at work. It's great.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
So, Jamie, you are the winner of the Very Vegan Christmas Cookies book, 125
Ooh, nice.
Festive and Flavorful Treats. I'm going to put you on hold while these ladies chat for a little bit, and I will tell you how you can pick up your book.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And well done for keeping the public so informed on these issues.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Great.
Yes, let's see. I guess I have a little news item, actually. Speaking of, you had mentioned animal testing in your vegan story there, and that was something that was new to you. You knew, I think, that most people do that, like medications are tested on animals, but most people don't know, that common household products and cosmetics are. So I read earlier this week that PETA UK mentioned, that's People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals in the United Kingdom, they mentioned a full ban on animal tested cosmetics in the EU is looking good. Spokesperson had sent them a letter saying that they don't foresee any delay or compromise on the cosmetics marketing ban, which is due in March 2013,
wow,
which is very soon. And it's going to end the sale of all cosmetics and toiletries containing ingredients tested on animals. Actually, testing on animals is already outlawed in the EU, but starting at the end of March, companies that test elsewhere won't even be able to sell their products there either.
You know, they are so far ahead of us when it comes to the welfare of animals, and they've also have outlawed gestation crates for pigs, which sort of is a good segue into our next segment, which is the huge undercover cruelty investigation that broke in the media last week on the W5 program by Mercy for Animals Canada. Now, Jackie, I know you saw it.
Yeah.
Alyssa, you weren't able to get your flash player working.
I read a whole bunch of articles about it.
You have got to watch this investigation, and I have a link posted on our website, animalvoices.org, for the show for today. So, and it only works if you're in Canada for once. Usually it's like the other way around, is us Canadians can't get some content that's usually available online in the States when things have aired in TV shows there. But this time we've had this huge investigation break the news in Canada by Mercy for Animals Canada, which is an offshoot of the organization Mercy for Animals, which is based in the States. We know and love that organization here on Animal Voices, the radio show. We've had Nathan Runkle, the founder of Mercy for Animals, on the show several times to speak about some other undercover investigations that they've done now. Their investigations, they've been doing these for several years now, and every time after time, it's the same thing, is they'll randomly go into some kind of animal-producing facility in the United States, and by chance, or maybe not so
much, every time they find something.
They find egregious cruelty every time, and it's usually cruelty by... It's practices by workers. It's just horrible cruelty to these animals. It's always farmed animals, those kinds of facilities. They've done dairy cruelty investigations. They had a pig cruelty investigation that broke earlier this year, not too long ago. So now they've established a chapter in Canada, as of this summer, you can actually go to mercyforanimalscanada.ca. Maybe you can confirm that, Alyssa, on the computer there. And that's a link to their website. Twyla Francois, she's one of the undercover investigators for Mercy for Animals, and she's an amazing person. We've had her on the show before, too. We actually had her on the show just like a year ago to speak about horse slaughter issues, and she is now employed by Mercy for Animals Canada. I hear you're playing the trailer. Yeah, it automatically plays.
Mercyforanimals.ca.
That's what I meant to say. So, and then, like I said, the link to that CTV W5 program, it can be found on our website, animalvoices.org, probably in Mercy for Animals as well.
Or you can just Google it. It's everywhere.
So maybe for people who haven't heard about it, I mean, major media picked this up this week, too, as it aired last weekend on W5 on Saturday. I actually, as I was saying before, I actually made some use out of my television, which I never sit down and, like, watch a program on TV that I want to watch. Just doesn't happen. It aired on W5. It took a full half hour, first full half hour of the program, and then I saw that it re-aired actually the next day as well. You can watch it online now. So what happened is Mercy for Animals Canada broke this investigation to W5. It shows a Manitoba pig breeding operation where sows spend their lives in tiny crates. They are repeatedly impregnated to produce litters until they can't anymore, and then they are unceremoniously killed. Employees cull defective piglets by smashing their heads against something hard. And the Vancouver Sun had a headline in their newspaper this week, which was, you would think it would be something out of the Onion newspaper. It seemed very like, is this for real? The headline was, "Body slamming piglets to death humane, pork experts say." And that's exactly what they did say, that this is standard practice, and it is. It is cruel, but it's what they were showing, this intense cruelty of just how disrespecting the animals
a huge flaw in just our laws and regulations that we don't even really have.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that they interviewed Barbara Cartwright, Chief Executive Officer of Canada's Federation for Humane Societies, and what she said is people aren't used to seeing this, and what I think, and that she said they still believe animals are being raised in the old farm style, and now that it has broken to Canadian media where Canadians can no longer say, oh, but this doesn't happen, in Canada, it's not true. It does happen in Canada, and it's being shown.
It does happen, although, of course, there's all this sort of backlash. The pork industry is scrambling to either defend what's happening as...
And don't forget about the bacon
painful.
Shortage.
But they're either they're not sure whether they should condemn what's in the video or defend it.
Yeah.
So on the I saw on the Canadian Pork Council says that they're deeply committed to the humane and respectful treatment of all animals in our care. Disrespect towards the animals shown in parts of the video footage is unacceptable to Canada's hog farmers. This does not portray the values of most farmers. And then it says we have zero tolerance for animal abuse. It's an imperative for anyone who works with animals, treat them with respect and compassion. Mm-hmm. Zero tolerance for animal abuse at a hog farm?
And like, I think the important thing is too, like, a lot of people see this and they're like, oh, I'm gonna go off pork, but it's not just the pigs. You just saw pigs. The pigs, you know, there's animals that could get worse treatment, like chickens, cows, calves.
Most of these animals in the world are chickens. Fish. What about fish? Fish don't have feelings.
Or people will say, oh, this farm needs to be, and we know
because
what's going
to
happen.
They don't want to give up what tastes good to them for just want to, like, disregard what they saw, basically.
But not everyone, because as you just shared,
that's
you were
true.
One of those people, and when you learned the facts from seeing a film, you changed your mind. So I really believe in the power of film.
That is true.
Speaking of, my friend, actually, who had asked me a little bit about vegetarianism in the past, she eats meat and her family does, she posted, I saw her respond to another person's posting of that video, and she said, this is totally unacceptable. It's not just pigs. It's all animals. animals, and this is not cool. And then a couple minutes later, she posted, I no longer want to support animal cruelty, and which sounded like, yeah, meat and dairy. She's ready to quit. Based on seeing this video, this pushed her over.
Good.
So it's really that kind of drop in the bucket thing.
Mercy for animals. I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
You converted at least one person, and I really think it'll be a lot more than that.
People just need to see this. They need to see to believe.
Yeah. I actually read one quote, interestingly, from a veterinarian based at the University of Manitoba. She said, the squeals of the pigs as they're castrated without anesthetic can't necessarily be attributed to pain and suffering. This is her quote. It appears to me the pig is squealing just as much because it's being held upside down or because it is being restrained. Oh, no, I don't think castration without anesthetic hurts or would cause me to squeal.
I want to say something really insulting about that person, but I try to keep those comments to myself.
Is that veterinarian
the message
a man?
Of unity,
yeah.
though.
Exactly.
I mean, I think there's
That's
a lot of ignorance and a lot of well-meaning people. They're not out there, you know, with maliciously trying to.
I think people are brainwashed.
I think so. And I think we have to, you know, not just point at the people in the video and say, oh, those terrible
people. Those are the people who I blame the least, actually. The people who I blame the most are the people who support these products because they're eating them. If you don't want these products, if you don't buy them, this isn't going to happen.
Exactly. That's how you vote. You vote based out of what you buy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we have to put pressure on governments to not allow these sort of egregious cruelties. It's not just the dollars in our pockets, but also political pressure, I think, as well. But yeah, I just always worry that so let's say gestation crates are phased out, or we start using anesthetic for castration, or we find other alternatives, which actually the EU is looking at. They've banned gestation crates. Now they're looking at the castration issue. After that, then what? Do people just feel all warm and fuzzy about animal slaughter?
It's an ongoing process, and I think it's actually, I mean, that's where you get welfarism versus abolitionism.
They don't necessarily have to be a dichotomy, which is what I'm learning more.
And what I think is it's just opening people's minds, because you're going from closed doors to these facilities that no one knows about to now it's on TV. People need that time to actually acclimate to the ideas, I believe. So I think that definitely has something to do with it. Now, one thing that you had said, Jackie, was that at the very end of the show, what was the comment that they said at the very end of the show? Don't worry, the pork is still safe to eat.
This is about the welfare of the animals, not about the safety of your pork. You can still eat your bacon cheeseburger or whatever. It's like,
what an odd and sour note to end on, right? It wasn't an animal rights program, and I totally commend this program for actually airing this investigation on the television, and I really hope people can find their own thoughts about it and really realize, like, I don't want to be supporting this.
Yeah. Do they have to worry about, well, I'm just thinking of Oprah and the sort of meat libel suit.
I'm sure this went through their lawyers many times before it aired. This investigation was this summer. It was in June.
Yeah. Yeah, TV networks have to be careful about their sponsors and about not slamming an industry or whatever. So,
And good journalism, you need to be fair. And I do commend them for that. But then why did they have to make that comment? Oh, but don't worry, you can still eat pork, because we're having a Maple Leaf commercial after this.
Yeah. And they said, I think Maple Leaf, who is buying Puritone Farms, said
Puritone was the facility.
They're going to phase out the crates by 2017.
Right, and they did mention that on the show, too. I think it was one of the Puritone reps, they were saying, one of the people in the industry, when they were asking them for their opinion on the video, they were saying, oh, but this is allowed. You're asking me if it's gestation crates are cruel or not. Doesn't matter. It's allowed. It's loud. And they're trying to make the point it's being phased out everywhere else.
I think, I think we've like covered that pretty well, and I'm glad we could have that open discussion. Yeah. That was fun, and I hope people listening enjoyed that as well. We're kind of, the energy in the room is a bit intense, and that's a pretty heavy topic that we just covered. I would like to change the tone a bit. And
let's do some yoga.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm actually just going to start with a track, track one on the CD. It's a spoken word piece by an artist named Jaina, based in the States. I heard about this track through the vegan hip-hop movement, Kevin Tillman and his work. You can Google that. This song is called Two to Divine, and it segues into what I'm going to announce after. Enjoy.
The only thing we truly need to satisfy these bodies is shelter, food, and water, not to slaughter or to bother. All these creatures living peacefully, you see, they're just like you and me. The greed that binds us faithfully and shapes the way we live and breathe blinds the eyes that once could see. This isn't the natural way to be. You can collect your silver and gold, cell phones and pages, new kicks and clothes, selling yourself on the radio, that still won't give you peace inside. The river of life is long and wide. A positive mind, your health will shine. Open your heart to the divine, to the divine, to the divine. Lately I have had this feeling, our society needs healing, it's revealing in the air, the way that a lot of these people don't care, this woman, this man, disrespecting the land, but we are the land. Disrespecting the earth, but we are the earth. Disrespecting the soil that sprouts the root that sprouts a seed. Please believe. Still you can collect your silver and gold, sitting alone till you're gray and old. It's an interconnection we're connecting on. It's revelation and layers we're reflecting on. It's the only way to heal this day. And whether you pray or bow to sun rays, it's energy sent. It's a positive intent. Whether you believe in love or angels above, or simply take sage to burn out the rage, or tell someone they're special to you, it's just the simple things each day we do that brings awareness. Like when you're aware of someone staring at the beauty you've created. We can nurture our bodies. It's been stated that the essence of life is in the food we eat. You are what you put in you. What do you want to be? Try raw leafy greens. They'll make your eyes gleam, gleam. Raspberries and nuts and seeds. Carrot juice and peppermint tea. Take long walks and long stretches. Come treat your body. Take delicious hot baths with essential oils and herbs. Make love to the person you love with your heart chakra, your love center, the place where your divine self is at home and recognizes itself as a fawn leaning over a pond and gazing at its reflection in the sunlight. You are that soft creature above, and you are that glistening water below. Let the whole world know. Or you can collect your silver and gold, cell phones and pages, new kicks and clothes, selling yourself on the radio, that still won't give you peace inside. The river of life is long and wide. A positive mind, your health will shine. Open your heart to the divine, to the divine, to the divine.
As I said before, that was an artist named Jaina and her song called To Divine. And I wanted to announce a new exciting collaboration I don't think I've mentioned on the show before. Midway, or at near the beginning of the show, I guess, we played an announcement by another show, a promo, for a show called Drishti Point. And that's a yoga show, actually, on Co-op Radio as well. Interviews leaders in the yoga movement and different sort of spiritual practitioners and people sort of coming from all walks. It's a really inclusive show. And when is it on Co-op Radio? It's Mondays, I think. Oh, I'll have to look that up.
Get your laptop out.
Okay, well,
Mondays.
Actually, if you could look it up, could you? Thanks. Basically this show, Drishti Point and Animal Voices, are going to be collaborating and to reach out to the yoga community and to the animal rights community. We need to, of course, make bridges. We had talked about the veterinarians, you know, having that disconnect. Yeah. And in the past, we've talked about, you know, feminists and animal rights activists needing to come together. And I think the yoga community is ready to wake up to this, and there's not very many vegetarian yogis out there, vegan yogis, despite popular opinion. In a recent Veg News, actually, which is the vegan lifestyle magazine, there was a really great feature written by
it's a current issue that's
it out. Is, yeah, November, December of 2012. Andrea Kowalski, a Kundalini yoga teacher and ethical vegan, wrote a great article bringing together yoga and veganism, talking about ahimsa, which is the practice of nonviolence, the philosophical principle behind vegetarian and vegan yogis. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about this new collaboration with Drishti Point. We're planning on
Yeah, they're Tuesdays from 5 to 6.
Excellent, thank you. So we're going to actually be producing or working on a couple film screenings. The first will be Valentine's Day, which is February 14th. We're going to show The Peaceable Kingdom, I think. And we'll have another film screening, I think, in March or April. And we're working on a little a pamphlet for yoga studios about the principle of ahimsa and bringing to light the cruelties involved in the animal exploitation industries, dairy and eggs, and kind of going beyond meat to making those connections for our health and for the animals. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. You have been listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Next week's show is our annual holiday episode. We'll be presenting a segment on compassionate gift giving for the holidays. Plus, we'll have a feature interview with Zell Allen, author of the new book called Vegan for the Holidays. And we'll be speaking with her about spending a compassionate and cruelty-free holiday season. And stay tuned for the end of that show. We'll have a musical surprise for you as well. We here at Animal Voices modestly ask you to keep connected with the Animal Voices show via the World Wide Web. You can do so by signing up for our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And please do send us your suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Also, please do check out our website, animalvoices.org, where our shows can be downloaded from. To close the show for you, we have two songs for you. Jingle Bells by PETA 2, which is Jingle Bells with a Twist, and then that'll be followed by a song called Please Daddy Don't Eat Meat This Christmas by Larry Brown. Please stay tuned now for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Jingle bells, dead flesh melt, let's go begin today. Skip the pussy coli stuff, go meet me all the way. Hey! Jingle bells, in a nutshell, you'll save hundreds of lives. You'll be greener and way leaner and all the much more wise. Factory farming sucks and is killing planet Earth. Save animals, the atmosphere, and decrease our own girth. It's easy to go veg, all you have to do is try. Mock meats, veggies, and fun food, and don't forget the pie. Jingle bells, dead flesh smells, let's go vegan today. Skip the pussy coli stuff, go meat free all the way. Hey! Jingle bells, in a nutshell, you'll save hundreds of lives. You'll be greener and way leaner and all the much more
chicken. Yeah. Yeah. just can't live without it. But I'm right here to tell you that you can. So now please, Daddy, don't eat me this Christmas. I don't want to see my mama cry. Please, Daddy, don't eat me this Christmas. She don't want an animal to die.
See my mama cry.